morning is United States against Snowden. Mr. Flynn.
May it please the court. My name is Jerry Flynn, and I represent Jesse Snowden in this appeal. Mr. Snowden raised three issues interrelated to the stop of his vehicle. I would first like to address the issue with regard to whether the district court committed clear error on two important factual findings at the motion to suppress. These factual findings were essential to the court's finding that the agents had reasonable suspicion to stop Snowden's vehicle pursuant to Terry v. Ohio. The first important factual issue that the court and the court mistakenly found was the statement by the target of the investigation directly before Snowden was arrested. And this statement that the district court found that the target had stated, "I'm in the McDonald's parking lot." The record is devoid of that. In fact, all that the target had told the agents was, "Come out, I'm waiting for you." And that's very important because other than that statement, there is nothing on this date which would lead which would give the police reason to believe that the target would have been located at the McDonald's or its parking lot. Without that statement, there is no factual assertion that can be made that would lead you to believe that the target was located at McDonald's. The only connection that would exist was a previous controlled purchase from 3 months earlier, where the controlled purchase had been moved from the auto parts store to the McDonald's. This is also significant because the road in which the McDonald's and the auto parts store were located was a major thoroughfare. There were other establishments. There were other possibilities for the target to move the transaction, which he had done in previous transactions. The second important factual mistake made by the district court was in determining that Mr. Snowden's vehicle was parked adjacent to the vehicle being used by the agents as undercover. This is significant because the distance between the vehicles was used by the court to bolster the reasonable suspicion determination. It was also used by the government in its effort to argue its appeal. The evidence showed that the green Pontiac driven by Snowden and the Chevrolet were actually 50 to 60 feet apart. The vehicles were in two different parking lots separated by a 3-foot wall. According to the testimony of at least one agent, the green Pontiac was parked in the space closest to the entrance of the McDonald's, the same space in which Snowden had previously parked before returning to the lot. So there was nothing suspicious about where he parked. In addition, this is a very small parking lot with one row of parking spaces. There were the government makes a major point that the vehicle was parked in a way in which the target could see the undercover vehicle. Well, in fact, anywhere you parked in that parking lot would have given you virtually clear view of that vehicle. So the district court's use of the term adjacent was important because it implied proximity that, quite frankly, is not supported in the record.
Did they see where he parked the first time? Is there evidence that they did see that car the first time when he was just in there to get the food?
Yes, Your Honor. They observed that car on the first time.
It attracted their attention?
They were observing all vehicles at that time. Okay. There was nothing unusual about that vehicle. Moving on to whether there was reasonable suspicion to stop that vehicle, one must consider that, and the district court found, that there was nothing unusual about the way that Snowden drove his vehicle on this day. He entered through the northern part of the parking lot, through an access road. This was found by the district court. He proceeded around the McDonald's because the traffic pattern required that. He parked. He went into the McDonald's. Picked up his cousin who was in the McDonald's. Again, drove around the McDonald's as required by the traffic pattern. Left the restaurant and then returned because of they had been shorted food. And I would submit the fact that they returned is not suspicious. Anyone who frequents fast food establishments knows that you're often given the wrong order. And as a father of four young children, I can tell you I'm often having to return to get French fries or hamburgers or Happy Meals that weren't included. So this is not unusual, the fact that the car had to return to the parking lot. There was nothing unusual about its traffic pattern. And I want to clear that up, because even in my brief, I noted a peculiar peculiar driving. In fact, there was no peculiar driving by Snowden. This was typical of anyone who had entered the lot, and this is found. This is actually found within the district court's order.
Didn't the other officer know he was wanted on some outstanding warrants?
That was only after the stop, Your Honor.
Yeah.
And that really wouldn't be an issue
So he didn't. But, I mean, he had knowledge, though, that he was wanted, didn't he, as soon as he saw him?
After the police descended upon Snowden's car with their guns drawn and observed him, and that would go to the third issue, but it would not be a factor in whether the agents had reasonable suspicion to stop his vehicle under the Terry standards. Moving on to some of the cases cited by the district court, with regard to U.S. v. Tillman, the district court really relied on two cases, Tillman and Askew. In Tillman, this was a bank robbery where the suspected getaway car was seen, and the robber was described in detail. The car was described as a blue Mustang with a gray strip and out-of-state tags. The car was headed from Eau Claire, Wisconsin to Minnesota. Several hours after the robbery, a state trooper observed the vehicle approximately 50 miles from Eau Claire heading towards Wisconsin. Now, that's clearly distinguishable from this case because the trooper had specific facts regarding the type of vehicle being driven. In Snowden's case, there was absolutely no communication on the date of the arrest as to whether the target was driving what type of vehicle, whether the target was even in a vehicle.
Counsel, but you're avoiding what I asked you before. Once they saw the man, they knew that this was the person that had some warrants out for him. Is that right?
That is correct, Your Honor.
At that time, can't they walk up to him and say, John Jones, do you have any weapons on you? Just on the knowledge.
Yes.
That they knew that he had outstanding warrants.
Yes, they could.
So they had reasonable cause then to do that.
At that point, I would agree.
Okay.
I'd like to reserve the rest of the time for rebuttal if possible.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, Mr. Flynn. Mr. Barrett.
May it please the court, Jesse Barrett for the United States. Counsel, in his brief, conceded that the behavior of the Pontiac on this day was somewhat strange. Counsel now backs off from that argument, but I think it's important to note what the officers observed. Officers observed Mr. Snowden's Pontiac circle three times around the McDonald's over the course of a few minutes. And after it completed its third circle, it parked directly parallel to the Chevrolet that the police had used on previous buys, and the confidential informant at that moment received a phone call stating, come out, I'm waiting for you.
Were they watching, does the evidence show that they were watching that particular car before the final loop or whatever you want to call it?
It does, Your Honor.
The other side said that he was, they were observing all the cars and they observed it, but was there some reason for that particular one to attract their attention above others in the lot at some point before it made its final parking?
There was, Your Honor. What the district court found, in which neither side challenges, is that the Pontiac pulled in to the McDonald's lot the very first time by means of an access road which ran directly behind the Advance Auto parking lot and directly behind the confidential informant's vehicle, behind that green Chevrolet. So from the very moment that Mr. Snowden's Pontiac first came into view, officers began focusing on it because that was the only vehicle that had moved in the vicinity of the Advance Auto lot where the police vehicle was. So from the very first moment, they were onto that car. Now, as that car proceeded to circle around the McDonald's, it came out of the view of some agents and into the view of other agents. But the evidence is clear from the testimony of particularly Task Force Agent Radigan that officers and agents had that Pontiac in view from the very first moment it passed the police vehicle until a couple minutes later when it completed its final circle around the McDonald's.
And that couple minutes later, was that the return trip or?
That's correct, Your Honor. What the evidence shows is that So the Pontiac pulled around the McDonald's, as it was required to do by the McDonald's traffic flow, parked the first time. Mr. Snowden's cousin got in the vehicle. Then the Pontiac again circled around the McDonald's, as it was required to do by the traffic flow.
To get out of there.
To get out. It pulled out onto Lincoln Way West and drove approximately 2 blocks when they discovered that the food order was wrong. Then they turned around. And there's no testimony that the agents saw them turn around, and then they pulled back into the McDonald's lot. Contrary to Mr. Flynn's argument, I don't believe there's any evidence in the record that the Pontiac parked in the exact same spot the second time that it had parked the first time.
How far away was it from the whatever that other...
It would have been near to it because it was on the same side of the parking lot. I'm not sure how many spaces separated it.
And one's in one lot, one's in the other. Is that correct?
That's correct, Your Honor. The way the lots work is they back up to each other, and there's just a little foot three high.
Yeah, there's no access. You can't get from one to the other.
Right. You have to hop over the wall, but you can't do it.
I mean, a car can't get from one.
A car can't do it. But it's important to note that where that car parked, there was not a closer spot in the McDonald's parking lot to the police's green Chevrolet than where that Pontiac parked. From where the Pontiac parked, it was facing windshield to windshield to the police's green Chevrolet. So if that Pontiac had wanted to pick a position in McDonald's where it could park and have unobstructed view of the police vehicle, it couldn't have picked a better spot.
I want to follow up since they got into it a little bit on the other side, and that's with regard to the recognition and the gun. As I understand it, of course, they're washing their hands because that's where the danger is and weren't really looking at the face to see if it's the right person. I guess they knew what the target looked like. So what happens then? Did they order them out of the car? And what is the sequence between ordering them out of the car and asking if you have a gun when it's relinquished and the recognition by another officer?
This is on pages 58 to 60 of the transcript, and I would acknowledge that the testimony of the officers isn't maybe as clear as it would be nice if it were a little bit clearer. But what it looks like happened from the testimony is that numerous agents approached the Pontiac, and the first order was hands up. After that, there is testimony that the officers first ordered the driver out of the car because...
That's Snowden.
And that's Mr. Snowden, who officers believed was the target. They believed the target would be the driver. At the time he got out of the car, one of the agents, Task Force Agent Joe Ficozzi, recognized him as the same man for whom he had been looking on the outstanding warrants. And about simultaneously with that, another agent asked Mr. Snowden if he had a weapon. Mr. Snowden responded that he did. That weapon was secured, and Mr. Snowden was then ordered to the ground and asked if he had any other weapons.
But in either case, whether it's the recognition or acknowledgement of a gun, that reasonable suspicion is over. Now you have a different scenario here.
Right, Your Honor.
You have a person with a weapon, and you also have another recognition that there's two felony warrants out for this particular person, even though it's not the target.
I think that's correct. I think under Green and Johnson, at that point, the reasonable suspicion argument can stop, and at that point, you're looking at you have probable cause to arrest this man because he has outstanding warrants, and you're finding out if he has a gun for officer safety. In Mr. Snowden's appellate brief, He argues that the officers, the second they discovered that Mr. Snowden was not the target, they should have let him go. And that runs counter to everything that this court has held regarding police conduct to ensure their safety. I mean, here you have numerous officers, guns drawn, three people in a car. They think it's a drug deal, and they immediately ask, are there any weapons? Regardless of what the precise sequence was, whether the split second recognition happened, you know, immediately before or immediately after the question about guns, officers were surely, under this court's Terry stop precedent, authorized to ask Mr. Snowden whether he was armed for their own safety. That's an issue from which this circuit has never backed away. So this question, are you armed, is incontrovertibly, I think, within the authority of the police when they're executing either a Terry stop and frisk or an arrest with probable cause once they discovered that Mr. Snowden was wanted on the outstanding warrants. As to Mr. Flynn's first arguments regarding the errors, the alleged errors, neither statement by the court is error, and certainly neither statement is clear error. As to the adjacent issue, the parking lots are adjacent to one another. There's no dispute about that. And the vehicles are as close as vehicles could be if there is a vehicle in the McDonald's lot and a vehicle in the Advance Auto lot. There's an unobstructed view between them. Admittedly, there's a 50 to 60 foot space between them, but adjacent is a fine adjective to describe their description. Maybe there could have been a better word choice, but that certainly doesn't rise to the level of clear error. As to the court statement about what the target said on the telephone, it's undisputed he said, "Come out, I'm waiting for you." It's also undisputed that he never said he was at the McDonald's. But as we argued in the brief, there was ample evidence from which the court could conclude that the target was at the McDonald's and from which officers could conclude that the target was at the McDonald's. And in those circumstances, that statement, again, was not error, and Judge Miller certainly didn't make clear error when he found that fact. But just to wrap up, I think it is important to note that once, regardless of all of that stuff, once the officers found that Mr. Snowden was the individual who was driving that car and had outstanding warrants for his arrest, at that point, the Terry stop analysis could conclude, and they were justified in what they did. Thank you, Your Honors.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Counsel. Anything further, Mr. Flynn?
Yes,
Sergeant Radican of the South Bend Police Department testified to it perfectly when he admitted on cross-examination that there was nothing special about the green Pontiac other than its timing of entry into the lot. The government, I would assert there was nothing unusual about his driving patterns. The language that I used in my initial brief was inappropriate. The court's order, and it's clearly rebutted in the reply brief, demonstrate that the actions of Mr. Snowden were not atypical, were not unusual, and should not have warranted any suspicion. In addition, the officers had been there 3 months earlier. They should have known about the traffic pattern in that McDonald's. So there really is no excuse that they did not, and that if they would have realized that the traffic, would have understood the traffic pattern, they would have known that his circling the McDonald's was nothing unusual.
It's probably not. The return trip is the only unusual thing. I mean, you say it's usual.
I can guarantee you it's unusual.
I have four kids, only I don't take them, but they go there a lot. So I don't know how that works out. But anyway, the fact that he came back, it's not every time that their order is short, I assume.
Correct. But still, that alone is not enough for reasonable suspicion. Reasonable suspicion requires particularized and objective facts. The fact that the car returned and the timing of it is not sufficient. Hunches are not sufficient. The police officers had a hunch that the green Pontiac was the target, and their hunch was wrong. But a hunch does not satisfy the standard outlined in Terry v. Ohio and its progeny. With regard to when the car initially entered on the access road, the government has made a big deal about the fact that he could clearly see the vehicle being used by the agents. In reality, any vehicle that would have entered that way would have had a clear view of where the agent's vehicle was. It was just by chance that Snowden entered at that time and through that access road. We stand by the assertion that he parked virtually the same spot that he did for the first time, closest, and the officers testified this, that lot that he parked at was closest to the door entering the McDonald's. There was nothing unusual about that. In fact, it made sense that he parked there. The fact that there were very few cars in the parking lot and that he had a clear view of the car in the other parking lot being used by the agents is, quite frankly, not relevant.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Case will be taken under advisement.